All right, we have four notice of motions. So first one, Councillor Crowley.
Two of three notices of motion moved by Monaghan Ward Councillor Matt Crowley at the General Committee meeting of Peterborough City Council on Monday, August 24th, were officially ratified at the Monday, August 31st Council meeting the following week. Crowley described the motions as an effort to address three distinct but overlapping issues in the city pertaining to property speculation, licensing and standards for rental properties, and the prohibition of buy-room rentals, and the municipal enforcement of property standards bylaws.
I think if you ran a DNA test on all three of these notices of motion that are brought out tonight, I think that you would find that they have that they share a lot of the same genetic material. There's a common thread that's running through them, which is housing affordability, responsible property ownership, and making sure that the city has the tool it needs to protect residents and enforce the rules that we already have. And for this motion, I want to focus specifically on what's happening to the housing stock that we already have. We all know that Peterborough needs more housing. We need new homes, apartments, rental units, and private investment is absolutely part of getting that built. The issue that surrounds this is when investment doesn't create any new housing at all, and instead, it simply acquires more and more of the homes that already exist. So this notice of motion is asking if it makes it harder for a first-time buyer, a young family, or someone working in this community to compete for a home. And if the answer is yes, then is there anything reasonable that the city could do, could actually do about it? And I understand that this argument is fundamentally a supply problem, because if we had enough supply outside, speculative investment wouldn't be a problem. And I know that we have worked very hard over the last 4 years to do what we can to solve that over the last term. But I think in the interim, we shouldn't ignore what's happening to our existing housing stock. And I think that there's a difference significantly between investment that creates new homes and investment that just simply changes who owns an existing home. These three motions relate to three separate things that I think all go together that we've been hearing about in each one of our wards over the last 4 years, certainly for the last 2 years loud. And the first one is obviously people from, or speculators from either inside the city or outside the city coming in, buying up all of our housing stock. Usually where I find it is in subdivisions where there's newly built houses. That may or may not be true completely across the board, but it's where I'm hearing the most complaints from. The second motion is related to when these speculators buy property, they jam as many people in there. They maximize the occupancy at the expense of the health and safety of the residents. Sometimes they might have two or three bedrooms in there, but there'll be 8 to 10 people in there, well past what should be allowed. And that's what the second one addresses. And the third one is really related to our ability as a city to enforce efficiently our bylaws to ensure the safety of those tenants.
However, the councillor encountered some resistance amongst his colleagues at the General Committee meeting on the 24th, with some saying Crowley's motions represented potential overreach on the part of the city in interfering with the private market. Here's Councillor Leslie Parnell.
I do understand the intent of all of this, but I think this is an incredible overreach of what our jurisdiction is. We cannot control the private market, for one thing. The market is the market. I am concerned that we are in desperate need of housing of all kinds, including room rentals for students. We have three flight schools, Trent University, Fleming College, a Bible college, and many, many of those students need somewhere to live.
Only Crowley and Councillors Burke, Beamer, and Vasiliadis voted in favor. Councillor Parnell once again spoke to the successive motion, which called on staff to investigate the possibility of banning single-room rentals outside of the city's strategic growth area in the downtown.
I am concerned that this is like using a sledgehammer to kill a mosquito with unintended consequences, as the mayor has said. If there is a house in your neighborhood that has 12 students in a three-bedroom house, nobody is comfortable in that situation. They are not safe in that situation. That's when we call the fire department to make sure, because they will not be up to safety. They will not be up to fire code. But other than that, they're the ones who have the authority to do something about it. Us councillors do not.
For once, Town Lord Councillor Alex Burke echoed the sentiments of his Autonomy Ward colleague. He had some strong reservations to Crowley's second and third motions and singled out the second in particular.
Thank you, Chair Beamer. I definitely support where Councillor Crowley's coming from with this, but I cannot support this motion, respectfully. I think that there is a much bigger issue underneath what is being proposed here. We're being asked to investigate how we can prohibit a separate rental of more than one bedroom in a home outside of strategic growth areas. To me, this raises the fundamental question about what home is. This motion seems to come from a very particular idea of what households are supposed to look like. One family, one lease, one conventional household occupying one conventional dwelling. But that isn't how everyone lives. And increasingly, it isn't how people can afford to live. Statistics Canada tells us that roommate households were the fastest growing household type in Canada between 2001 and 2021, increasing by 54%. House sharing is increasingly part of how people deal with the cost of housing. I represent downtown Peterborough. One of the things I value about downtown is that we see almost the entire housing continuum here. Single family homes, apartments, social housing, condos, supportive housing, lodging houses, room rentals, students living together, seniors, family, etc. I become very uncomfortable when municipal government begins deciding that one form of household is legitimate while another form of household needs to be pushed somewhere else. In fact, our own official plan says almost the exact opposite of what I think this motion is trying to accomplish. It says, and I quote, that we should support a full range and mix of housing options throughout the city. And housing should respond to, quote, shifting household structures throughout the city, not simply in strategic growth areas.
Crowley appeared to take offense to Burke's comments and raised his voice during his allotted speaking time, which immediately followed.
Councillor Crowley?
I absolutely reject the accusation that I am in any way trying to redefine family or trying to racialize through legislation housing in the city. I am absolutely appalled by that accusation.
I never said that. You can read my notes. I never said you were trying to do that. I asked you a
Councillor Crowley has the floor. Councillor Crowley has the floor. Councillor.
Crowley seemed to imply that the motions were not entirely his idea, and he had at least in part been put up to the propositions by resident complaints.
Our duty as city councillors is to take resident complaints, bring them to staff, bring them to council, ask staff to go and do their job, and to come back and report back with what we can and what we can't do. I understand that there's language in here that's very restrictive. I also understand I need to change that for next week. I understand that I can't change it now. So if you don't like it, you can vote against it. And I have nothing personal against me at all. But what I'm trying to do is bring resident complaints as a city councillor to city staff and see if we can do something.
Crowley ultimately introduced an amendment walking back the outright ban on single room rentals and appended language directing staff to investigate tighter restrictions on rentals instead. That amendment passed 6-5 with the support of himself, Councillors Baldwin, Beamer, Hakey, Vasiliadis, and Mayor Jeff Leal. The second and third motions moved by Crowley passed successively after some debate, the first with the same 6-5 split and the second 8-3. On Monday, August 31st, Tracy Smith, a Lily Lake subdivision resident from the Parklands Community Action Group, delegated to City Council to express her support for Crowley's motion. Smith had been at the General Committee meeting taking notes the week before, and was joined by a number of her neighbors, also members of the Parklands Community Action Group. While they themselves did not delegate, they echoed support for the initiative to members of the press after the August 31st meeting. Here's a clip from Smith's delegation on the 31st.
I'm here this evening on behalf of the Parklands Community Action Group. Our group strongly supports the motion before council, asking staff to investigate legally defensible options regarding rental licensing, inspections, property management, safety requirements, and strong enforcement. I want to begin by making one thing very clear. We're not opposed to renters. Renters deserve a safe, clean, and well-maintained home, just as homeowners deserve to live beside properties that are properly managed and maintained. Our concern is property standards, responsible management, and accountability. Since forming our action group, We have documented and reported hundreds of property standard concerns involving excessive weeds greater than a meter high, garbage and waste stored in garages and on porches, and overcrowding rental properties. We've got more than 10 students, 15 students in the three-bedroom houses up there. Residents are repeatedly monitoring properties, taking photographs, and filing complaints.
Also delegating on the 31st was Jennifer Ruby, speaking to Crowley's motion on city security. Her delegation on safety concerns from business owners near the Reed Street parking lot invoked a lot of the same rhetoric wielded by opponents of the motion on the same agenda to approve a downtown cleanup initiative spearheaded by social enterprise One City. Here's some of that delegation.
I am here to speak about public safety and to ask council for something very specific: consistent, visible security presence at the Reed Street Municipal Parking Lot. The Reed Street parking lot has become, in the words of those who use it, an open-air drug market. This parking space is vital for the business and services in the area, but with everything that is happening there, it has reached a breaking point where staff and customers are changing how they work, where they park, and whether they come downtown at all. When I arrive at my workplace, I am frequently met with the sight of drug paraphernalia, needles, straws, and burned bins. I once found a small fire in the morning that was definitely from people cooking drugs. We have elderly clients who don't feel comfortable using the Reed lot. Some clients park elsewhere. Some clients arrive late searching for other parking options, and some clients have told us they simply don't want to come to the area. And that's when public safety becomes an economic issue. This month, my business is down approximately 25% compared to the same time last year and the year before. I cannot tell you that every dollar of that decline is because of what is happening around Reed Street, but I can tell you that clients are specifically telling us that safety concerns are changing their behavior. We need the city's help. We are asking council to recognize Reed Lot as a priority area and provide a consistent, visible security or bylaw presence.
As mentioned, both of the motions presented at council on August 31st pertaining to rental licensing and city security respectively passed with the support of a majority of council. Per the wording of these motions, city staff will be directed to provide options to council to address those concerns, which will potentially be included in the 2027 municipal budget. The preliminary budget will be presented in January of 2027, after the election of a new city council for Peterborough on October 26, 2026. Trent Radio tried to reach Matt Crowley for comment on this news piece, but he was unable to be reached prior to publication. For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Evan Robbins, broadcasting to you through the facilities of Trent Radio, CFFF in Peterborough.